Continuing with the topic we started last Sunday, and that's Know Jesus, Know Peace. That is K-N-O-W. K-N-O-W. Know Jesus. If you know Jesus, you know peace. If you don't know Jesus, N-O, no peace. N-O. But know Jesus, know peace. That's our topic for today. That's K-N-O-W. Hallelujah. And we established last Sunday that we said that Jesus himself is our peace. We read Ephesians chapter 2 verse 14 where the Bible said, for he himself is our peace. For he himself, talking about Jesus, is our peace. He said, who has made both one and has broken down the middle wall of separation. In Christ Jesus, we are all one. White, black, male, female, Gentile, Jew, in Christ we are one. So Jesus himself is our peace. And that's why we said, the Bible said in 2 Peter chapter 1 verse 2, he said, may grace, and when we talk about grace, we are referring to God's favor. God's favor, which means if you have Jesus, you have God's favor, undeserving, unmerited favor. And he said, may grace, God's favor, and peace. Then explanation of peace, he says, which is perfect well-being, all necessary good, all spiritual prosperity, and freedom from fears and agitating passions and moral conflicts, be multiplied to you in the full, personal, precise, and correct knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. So we say that's, if Jesus himself is our peace, he's telling us that the only way this grace and peace will be multiplied is in the full, correct, personal, and precise knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. And we say that means that personal there narrows it down to you, to me. Which means I can't know Jesus for you, you can't know him for me. So you got to know him for yourself. And when you know him for yourself in a correct, precise way, grace and peace will be multiplied unto you. Amen? And we said that the only way we can get this grace and peace multiplied unto us through the knowledge of God and Jesus, his son, is by, fellowshipping with the word of God. And then we refer to Proverbs chapter 4 from verse 20, where the Bible said, my son, attend to my word. And we say that they are health to all our flesh, they are medicine to our body. So it means anytime you're taking the word of God, there is something that is happening in your health. Something certainly and definitely is happening in your health, is happening in your emotion. You find yourself calmer, you find yourself more able to reason better. Amen? And Psalm 119 verse 165, Psalm 119, 165, can we have that on the screen? Psalm 119, 165, it says, let's read it together, ready, go. Great peace have those who love your law, and nothing causes them to stumble. Amen? Which means things will come and want to make you to stumble, to think that this your God is dead, that this is not working for you, this thing, I don't know what is happening. The Bible said, you will have great peace. Because your faith is anchored in him that is your peace. And that person is who? Jesus Christ. And he's in you. And you know he's in you. Amen? So, as we keep fellowshipping with the word of God, we keep knowing him better and better. And we said that was why Paul, in speaking to the church in Acts chapter 20, verse 32, he said, let's read it also on the screen. Acts 20, 32, Paul said, so now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and give you an inheritance among those who are sanctified. When this man was finishing here on earth, he said, look, what I give you, what I'm encouraging you to do, is to get yourself deeper in the word of God. That by fellowshipping with the word of God, I can guarantee you that you'll be built up and your inheritance you will enjoy. Amen? We said that the best thing you can ever do to any one of your family members or anyone you love so dearly is to encourage them to know the Lord for himself. Encourage them to know the Lord for themselves, because when they know him, anywhere they are, you can be guaranteed, you can be rest assured that the peace of God will garrison their heart as they also choose to cooperate with him by seeking to know him, fellowshipping with the word of God. So when you lay the right foundation, you are safe and secured, and you can lay down and sleep because you know that God himself will take care of them, because their faith is anchored in the real deal, which is Jesus Christ. Amen? God has taught me so much over the years since I gave my life to Christ, since the 19th of September, 1985. I have learned so much about Jesus. I have learned so much about who he is to me and all that he did for me. I have not yet arrived, but the primary thing is that I have left. I'm on my way, and I keep on pressing on. I keep on pressing on. Challenges had come here and there, but he has always proved himself faithful. I keep on anchoring my faith in what is promised in John chapter 16, 33. Let's read it together. John 16, 33. He said, shall we go together? I have told you these things so that in me you may have perfect peace and confidence. In the world you have tribulation and trials and distress and frustration, but be of good cheer, take courage, be confident, certain, undaunted, for I have overcome the world. I have deprived it of the power to harm you and have conquered it for you. Amen? He said he has conquered the world already for us, which means be it sickness, be it poverty, be it sin, be it protection, be it provision, whatever it is, he has already resolved it for me. And he has done so for anyone who had put his or her faith in him. So when trials come, through it all, I have learned to trust in Jesus. I have learned to trust in him. I have learned to depend upon his word. And so long as I keep on depending upon his word, looking away from all that will distract, whatever comes, goes. Whatever comes, it does what? It goes. Because he's faithful to his promises. If he told me he has already conquered on my behalf, it's simply because it's the truth about the word, because God is not a man that he should lie. Amen? So we must understand that if we have Jesus, he has already conquered for you. So whatever challenge comes your way, like my beloved husband was sharing with us this morning, know it already that your victory is what? He said, don't deal. You are more than a conqueror. You are an overcomer. This too has come to pass. It's not going to stay. Amen? Praise the Lord. Paul, speaking to Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 15, said, and that from childhood you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. Say, from childhood. That's why we encourage parents. Bring your children. Start from childhood. Thank God for my mom that started so early. I grew up with her studying the word. That time he would force us to go and study. He looked like he was, you know, he was hard on us. But it was all those things that, you know, he made us to. He laid that foundation that we became so religious, so now it was easy for us to fellowship, and then we became born again. That when challenges came, it was the same scripture with which we had victory when we were with her that saw me through. When the doctors gave up on me and said, no child, I remember that he said, Chineke nanke purimi henine, which means the Lord God before whom all things are possible. So when they said go and adopt children, I said no. My mother told me that he is the God before whom all things are possible. If he gave wisdom to human beings and they formed the airplane, and I could sit there, how many thousands of feet suspended, and I had faith enough to sit in there and he carried me, the same God that formed me in my mother's womb is able to remove what needs to be removed. He's able to add what needs to be added. And lo and behold, I have my four huge, handsome young men. Hallelujah. What the doctor said it is impossible, the God before whom all things are possible, that said, I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. Is there anything too hard for me? He made my fruit that is already there to bubble, and I have my children. Praise the Lord. He is faithful. See, the Bible said that all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Why? See, that the man of God, that the woman of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. You have what it takes to excel in whatever God has assigned you to do. That success is as you begin to dig to know the success, the blessing in you. Jesus in you is your blessing. Jesus in you is your wisdom. Jesus in you is all in all. As you begin to fellowship with the Word of God begins to teach you, begins to guide you. And as you cooperate with the Word, you begin to see victory in every area of your life. Because God is not a man that he should lie. He is faithful to his Word, and his Word, he promised, will never return unto him void. Amen? The Bible says wisdom comes from the mouth of God. He said, from his mouth come knowledge and understanding. It's not just any kind of wisdom. Say, skillful wisdom. Skillful and godly wisdom, they come from him. That's what you gain as you fellowship with the Word of God. You gain skillful and godly wisdom. That skillful and godly wisdom will shoot you ahead of your fellows, will help you in your academics, will help you in your business, will help you in your marital life, in whatever issue you find yourself. That skillful and godly wisdom which you gain as you fellowship with the Word of God will shoot you ahead of all the others. Praise the Lord. But you have to discipline yourself to get yourself to fellowship with the Word, to get yourself, even as we are sharing the Word today, to pay attention for yourself. You are not doing your neighbor the favor. You are not doing your parents. The parents are not doing the children a favor. It is for your own good. Praise the Lord. So as I keep fellowshipping with the Word of God, even when I miss it, he keeps correcting me. There's always that course correction that keeps happening. He just keep on, like the Bible said in 2 Corinthians 3 verse 18, he keeps changing you from one level of glory to another level of glory to another level of glory. What you don't know today, you know it tomorrow. What you don't know tomorrow, you know it next tomorrow. But you keep changing, changing me by the power in your word from one level of glory to another level of glory. Amen? Today, I am enjoying so much benefit of the kingdom. Every day, I take time and I say, I bless you, O my Lord, with all my heart. Affectionately and gratefully, I praise you, O my Lord, with all my soul. And I forget not one of all your benefits. You forgave every one of all my iniquities. I pray this for my family. And I pray this for everyone that is a member of this church. As I come to church, as I'm praying for the church, I say, you healed each one of all our diseases. You redeemed our lives from the pit and corruption. You redeemed our lives from stinking. You beautified us. You dignified us. You crown each one of the manners with loving kindness and tender mercies. You satisfy our mouth with our necessities and desires that our personal age and situation we go, so that our youth renewed is like the eagle, strong, overcoming, and soaring. We wait on you. We trust in you. We joyful, confident expectation of good. We look for and hope in you. And we are changed and renewed in strength and in power. We don't look at the things that we are facing, but we look away from all of them unto Jesus, who is the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising and ignoring the shame. And is now seated at the right hand of the throne of God. And that's my seated position in him, because I'm a child of God, because I have the Spirit of Christ in me. I am seated in that same exalted position. I look at things from that exalted position, and I declare things by that, from that my exalted position. Because I am seated, I have joy spirit with Christ. Amen? Amen? He is faithful. The one that is in you is greater than all. It's over all and above all. Child of God, I challenge you to know the power that is in you. If God declared you an overcomer, it's simply because you are an overcomer. If God declared you more than a conqueror, it's simply because that's who you are. You need to know who you are, and you stand as who you are. Amen? You look the devil eyeball to eyeball and you say, hey, you are from there. Because you are a child of God. Because you know that victory is yours. Because you know that he's simply trespassing. You don't let him. God has given you the power not to let him, but you have to open your up for your mouth and get him to where he belongs. Amen? Amen. Praise the Lord. We know that the Bible said in Psalm 103, that's where I was, part of where I was quoting, that said, for as the heavens are high above the earth, say, so great are his mercy and loving kindness towards those who reverently and worshipfully fear him. So you must understand that his mercy, he said, as heaven is high above, is as high as above the earth. He says, so are his loving kindness towards those that reverently and worshipfully fear him. That's, in other words, those that have really made him their God. If you really make Jesus the Lord over your life, and you understand truly that he is your Lord, when somebody is your Lord, he's your Lord indeed. When I go to work, I remember on Friday I was there, and then one of the supervisors came to me and said, "Hi, Dorothy, we are changing, the people that are going to go to Newark on Wednesday, because one of them is going to training. I don't know, do you mind if we put you in for Monday to go there?" I said, "Well, anytime I come to work, I'm yours truly. When it's my break, I enjoy my break. When it's my lunch, I enjoy my lunch. Every other time, I'm yours truly." She was just looking at me. I said, "Yes. When somebody is your Lord, you submit to his authority. When you've made Jesus the Lord, make him the Lord indeed, and you see what he can do. Don't make him Lord by mouth, but make him Lord indeed." That's what I'm talking about. Amen? When there was no school fees, the Lord showed up. He showed up. He sent his angel. I don't know how he ministered to somebody how many miles away, and they came and they brought school fees for me. And they said, when they told me about my son Casey, that there was nothing else they could do for me again, that I should take him home. I said, "Take him home, what, to die? They said, "Okay, they're going to try one more thing, that I should go and buy certain thing that they're going to use to put a drip, to put drip for him. A little baby at the time, when he was much young, when I was doing a master's at UNN, I went to the market. I kept on praying. I didn't know much at the time. I wasn't born again at the time. But how come that where I went to buy what they asked me to buy, one lady showed up and said, "What are you doing with that?" And I explained to her. I said, "You better bring your son, because they told me that if they try that I'm going to be taking him to, Enugu Teaching Hospital." And then the lady said, "Bring your son to Bishop Shanahan." I did what she did, she said. And that was where they helped my son. This son would have died. But for God. God knows how to fight for us. But we have to show him that we have our absolute trust and confidence in him, because he's very faithful. Look at how he brought us here into this country. We didn't plan for it. He planned it, he executed it, and here we are. The steps of the righteous are ordered by him. But you have to trust him. He knows. The Lord knows the way through the wilderness. All I have to do is to follow. The Lord knows the way through the wilderness. All I have to do is to follow. Strength for today is mine all the way. And all that I'll need for tomorrow, the Lord knows the way through the wilderness. All I have to do is to simply follow. Praise the Lord. There is salvation in no other but in Jesus Christ. There is no other name that God has given to us whereby we must be saved. Saved from sin, saved from sickness, saved from poverty, saved from confusion, saved from whatever. It's only Jesus. We say only Jesus can save. It's not just salvation from sin. Total, complete salvation. It's all in Jesus. So when you get to know him better, your life becomes sweeter, sweeter than the honeycomb. I challenge you to trust this, my Jesus. I challenge you to trust him so that you begin to enjoy the yummies that I am enjoying. I'm telling you, frankly speaking, I, Dorothy Emmanuel, am a blessed child of God. I enjoy yummies simply because of Jesus. Not for any other person. Not because of my works of righteousness. It's simply because of Jesus. Praise the Lord. He is so faithful. He is who he said he is. Oh. It is so sweet to trust in Jesus. Just to take him at his word. Just to rest upon his promise. Just to know, thus says the Lord. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust him. How I've proved him o'er and o'er. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus. Oh, for grace to trust him all. Every day I keep on asking God, help me that my heart will remain tender and sensitive towards you. No matter what is happening, that I will remain tender and sensitive in the heart towards you, that I will never be hardened towards your word. I will be easy to be entreated so long as I hear it is you that said so. If your word says it, that settles it for me. And it has been so good. It has been so good. Not that challenges don't come, but he's always faithful because he has already promised me that there is no temptation that is beyond me that will ever come my way. And that even in that midst of that temptation, that he, God, he makes a way of escape that I will be able to overcome it. Praise the Lord. And he's faithful to his word. Hallelujah. You can now understand why Paul made the pursuit of the knowledge of Jesus his primary, goal. He said in Philippians chapter 3, verse 7, he said, but what things were gained to me, these I have counted loss for Christ. Verse 8 says, yet indeed I also count all things loss for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus. He said, I also count all things but loss for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish. Why did he count them as rubbish? He said, that I might gain Christ. Verse 10 said, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death. This was his primary pursuit. And this is also my primary pursuit. That I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering. Whatever it takes, Lord, I say, even if it means tying me to the altar, Lord, help me to remain focused on Jesus. I don't care what anybody says. I don't care what is happening around me. So long as I remain focused on Jesus, I am good to go. And the same thing for you, my brother, my sister. Amen? We have to act on what we believe. If you believe in Jesus, you have to really act on it. It should show in whatever you're doing. The fact that someone has confessed Jesus as Lord and Savior, it does not mean that that person is really saved, unless the person believed in the heart. And if you really believe in your heart, it will show in your action. That's the truth about it. It's not a mental accent whereby you believe in your head or your mind, but your heart is far away from him. No. If it's coming from your heart, that you will know that you know that you know that something changed. I remember when me and my husband, we gave our lives to Christ on that 19th of September, 1985. I remember the same night, because we were always at loggerhead with each other. My husband was sleeping in one room, I was sleeping in one room. I remember how he came that night, already his face was soaked with tears, and he said I should forgive him for all that he had been doing to me. And I said that he should also forgive me because I have been living in resentment and bitterness. That was how I wanted to show that thing, so that he'll show you what would have happened to me if I had continued that way, if God did not intervene. Our life didn't get perfect overnight, but what happened was that as we kept fellowshipping with the word, our marriage kept getting better and better, sweeter and sweeter, hornier and hornier, yummier and yummier. Hallelujah. Today, we are in a honeymoon all the time. Praise the Lord. Why? Simply because of Jesus. Simply because Jesus came in and it's like, Jesus in me loves the Jesus in you. Jesus in me loves the Jesus in you. You're my brother. You're my husband. You're easy to love. Because I love Jesus in him and he loves Jesus in me. He's drawn to me by the Jesus in me and I'm drawn to him by the Jesus in him. So we are so easy to love each other. Praise the Lord. He's all in all. Hallelujah. So if we believe in Jesus, if we have made him truly the Lord over our lives, it must show. It must show in your commitment to studying to know him, fellowshipping with the word. You find yourself at the Bible study. You find yourself studying even on your own without anybody. Nobody cajoles you to do all these things because you love him. Like Paul said, that I might know him. There's this thing that is pushing you. You want to know him more. You want to hear more about him. You want to make sure you're conforming to whatever he wants you to conform. Praise the Lord. So when the Bible said to us as family in Ephesians chapter 6, let's open to it. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 1 and 2. The Bible said then, it said, children, obey your parents in the Lord as his, as God's representatives, for this is just and right. He said, honor, esteem, and value as precious your father and your mother. This is the first commandment with a promise. If you honor your father and mother, things will go well for you, and you will have a long life on the earth. There are principles that govern the word of God. God has already done everything for us. But here is what he said. He said, children, the first God that a child sees is the parents. Whatever they need, it has to be provided by the parents. The parents will carry them, will clean them up, will provide food, will do everything for them. They are his representatives. And God said, obey them because they are my representatives. For this is just and right. And he said, honor, esteem, and value as precious your father and your mother. He said, this is the first commandment with a promise. He said, if you honor your father and mother, things will go well for you. I wonder who doesn't want things to go well for him or for her. I don't know anybody that doesn't want things to go well for him or her. And the Bible says, honor them, that things will go well for you, and you will live a long life. You think that living a long life is only when you start eating the right food? It's part of it. Because the Bible says, in whatever we do, whatever we are eating or drinking, we should also glorify God. We have to honor God so that we will keep this body healthy that is carrying the real us, that is carrying God, because we are carriers of God. But God said, honor your, esteem them so that things will go well with, for you. So if things are not going well, it's not God that is withholding things from going well from you. All those goodies are there for you. But just a little bit attitude adjustment. And things will just start flourishing. Because the scripture cannot be broken. Heaven and earth will pass away, but this world will not return unto him void. So, if you've made Jesus the Lord, and he said, honor them. You just simply hear, yes, Lord, from the bottom of my heart to the depth of my soul, yes, Lord, completely, yes. My soul says yes. Because you said so, Lord, I yield. Praise the Lord. And watch what the Lord will do for you. I don't know how many times my mother voiced out so many blessings upon my life. At the time, I didn't understand it. And all those things that they said, I finally began to enjoy them because it came to be a reality. I know some people that said to me, Dorothy, whoever will marry you will not have need for another woman. I said, look at me today. I have only one husband. I don't have two. It's not my doing. It's the Lord's doing. Praise the Lord. I say, you're so blessed. I say, yes, say, you're glad. You are such a blessed woman. God will really bless you. When they're saying all those things, you need people's goodwill. When they're saying all those things, even when I was working at medical center in Soka, all those things, I began to see them working out in my life. Because your attitude determines your altitude in life. I didn't know all these details. But you see, when my mother was making us to read the book of Proverbs, the book of Ecclesiastes, the book of Psalm, and she will force you and you're reading all those things, anytime she wants to correct you, she will refer to one of those scriptures. Those things again played so well when I now knew the Lord very well. So you see, it's a matter of you now taking the word of God seriously, because everything that, when the Bible said that all that pertains to life and godliness, it has been given to you, is simply the truth about it. It is simply the truth. Even to deal with the devil is a piece of cake. Because God, you've got the power in the name of the Lord Jesus. You've got the power. You've got what it takes to nip him on the bud. But if you don't know and you are not fully persuaded, you will not know. You'll be begging God what God has already done for you in Christ Jesus. Praise the Lord. And he said to fathers, he said, fathers, do not provoke your children to anger by the way you treat them. How do you treat them? He said, rather, bring them up with the discipline and instruction that comes from the Lord. You do it God's way. You show them what the word said. You encourage them by the word of God, and not to deal with them because you are their parents. God shows us how to, and the more you fellowship with the word of God, the better you understand how to train your children in the fear and admonition of the Lord. And verse 10 says, a final word, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. This is for every child of God. God wants you to be strong in him. And how do you get strong in him? By fellowshipping, by studying the word of God for yourself, by meditating on the word of God, by declaring what the word said about you. Be strong in the Lord. It's not a beg. I beg you, please, now try and be strong. He said, be strong in the Lord. It is your responsibility to be strong. It is my responsibility to be strong in the Lord. And the word of God is there to help us to be strong in the Lord. You have to choose to do that before the evil days come. And he said in verse 11, put on all of God's armor so that you will be able to stand firm against all strategies of the devil. You don't understand the strategies of the devil, but the word of God will show you his strategies. And then the word of God will teach you how to deal with him when he shows up in your life or in your situation. He made it clear to us in verse 12, said, for we are not fighting against flesh and blood, enemies, but against evil rulers and authorities of the unseen world, against mighty powers in this dark world, and against evil spirits in the heavenly places. He said, therefore, put on every piece of God's armor so you will be able to resist the enemy in the time of evil. There's always a time of evil that shows up. Remember what Jesus said? I've overcome the world. So, let not your heart be troubled. When evil day shows up, you don't wait until it shows up. You have to be fully prepared. So when they show up, first you'll be able to reckon that this is not my father. This is the enemy. And then you'll be able to know how to handle him when he shows up. So, but when you're complacent, you're not being strong in the Lord, you're not taking time to arm yourself with all that the Bible has provided for us to arm ourselves, then when the evil day shows up, you start looking for the pastor. Start looking for somebody you think that has more anointing than yourself. The same Jesus in you is in your pastor. But you have to, on your own, work to be strong in the Lord. It calls for discipline. It calls for rearranging your time so that you'll be able to make out time to fellowship with the Word, to grow in the Lord, to be all that the Father has destined for your life. And not chasing rats and rabbits, or you want to get all the gettables. And what is more important, you're neglecting it. And the Bible said, but seek you first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all other things, they will all do what? Be added to you. They will even come meet you and overtake you. I am a living example of the fact that they have left me and they are overtaking me. The scripture can, look, I am seeing the proof of the word of God in my life. I am not telling you lies. Praise the Lord. God is faithful to his word. If you doubt it, check me out. He's faithful to you. I'm telling you, frankly speaking, I'm not mixing words. It's true. It's a hard truth that is true. Praise the Lord. He said, therefore, in verse 13, put on every piece of God's armor so you will be able to resist the enemy in the time of evil. He said, then after the battle, you will still be standing. Not that you won this victory. Say, hey, praise the Lord. And then you relax. You become complacent. No, you keep on keeping on. You keep on loading yourself, loading yourself, loading yourself, so that you become like the devil said, like the song says, Satan, no patch in my life is a dangerous zone. Satan, no standing, my life is a danger. Like, you know, hot dodo, no fly can perch on hot dodo. Then when the dodo becomes cold, then you find all the flies around. And the Bible said that we should be sober, be vigilant, because our enemy, the devil, is roaming about seeking whom he may devour. So it's not anybody he can devour. It is those that are cold. Then they are like cold dodo. He can come and, oh, I think yeah, this place is okay. Then they come and pay. And this one, come, it's comfortable. Then this one will come. Come, say, hey. Then they will just do you like this. It becomes like a lion that is sleeping and doesn't know the power that he has. He said, then after the battle, you will still be standing. Verse 14, he said, stand your ground, putting on the belt of truth. The word of God is truth. Putting on the belt of truth, and say, and the body armor of God's righteousness. Stand your ground. Constantly remember, I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Jesus is my righteousness. I am the righteousness of God in Christ. You have to know what the word said, and you have to confess it to yourself. Every day, I thank God that I'm the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Righteous through faith in the Lord Jesus, not based on my own performance, but Jesus Christ is my righteousness. This righteousness is a gift that he gave to me. So I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. He forgave me all my sins. If he forgave me all my sins, and the sting of sin is death, and sickness brings death, so sickness doesn't have any room in this body. Praise the Lord. When he settled for my sin over 2,000 years ago, it is the same day he settled for every sickness. It is the same day he settled for whatever I will need in life. Praise the Lord. It is in the world you get to know all these things. That's why any day the door of the church is open, I want to be there. Even when I'm tired, I'd rather lie down, but I want to hear. Sometimes I go in there and I lie down so that I can be hearing whatever they are saying here. I keep hearing. I keep charging myself. Keep charging myself. Praise the Lord. When I get home, I am also studying. I want to know and know and know. And then verse 15 said, for shoes, put on the peace that comes from the good news so that you will be fully prepared. No Jesus, no peace. Say, for shoes, put on the peace. Say, a peaceful Christian is a powerful Christian. The Bible said, in quietness and confidence, you will possess your possession. But the only thing that can make you to be peaceful here is because you know that you know that you know in whom you have believed. You know that you know that you know who is in you. The greater one lives in me than he does in the world. You know that you know that you know that he's for you. And if he's for you, nothing can be against it. If God be for us, who can be against us? Nothing. What will God withhold from you if he did not withhold his son Jesus? Does that mean that that thing is more important to God than Jesus? No. Praise the Lord. So you put on that peace. That peace is anchored in the fact that my daddy is there. He will settle me. This is it's a matter of time. This thing will be resolved. You already know the end of the matter, that the end is victory for you because of the one you have believed in. Praise the Lord. He said in verse 16, in addition to all of this, hold up the shield of faith to stop the fiery arrows of the devil. How does faith come? Faith comes by hearing and hearing and hearing by the word of God. So the same word of God. And Jesus is the word made flesh. So as you keep fellowshipping with the word of God, you're building your faith. Oh, he did that. Oh, this is what God did. Oh, look at what he did here. Oh, wow. This one is a piece of cake for him. This one has come to pass. The shield of faith. And without that faith, it's impossible to do what? To please God. Because those that come to God must first believe that he is, and he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. If you are not fully persuaded that God is and is faithful to his promise, then when challenges come, you start looking for here and there. And that's when they confuse you and they get you to say, I tell you, well, if you come to this prophet, he knows what to do. And then you start listening. Yet, the greater one lives in you that is able to deal whatever matter, with whatever issue that is coming upon your life. And then verse 17 said, Put on salvation as your helmet. That is, know that you've been saved. God saved you completely. Total salvation, not just saved from sin. All, egbogboni, like the Yorubas would say. Say, put on salvation as your helmet. Say, and take the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. What is the sword of the Spirit? The word of God. What is the sword of the Spirit, church? The word of God. You need to know the word of God so that when the devil shows up, like Pastor Uche was teaching, say, Satan, it is written. When he showed up to Jesus, how did Jesus defeat him? It is written. He showed this way, it is written. He showed again this way, Jesus said, it is written. And what did the Bible say? He left him for a more opportune time. But Jesus is more than equal to him. Because he's the word of God himself. And he wants us in the same manner to know that the only way we can defeat the enemy when he shows up is by saying, it is written. And that thing that is written is the infallible word of God. And the Bible said that the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two edges of penetrating even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and joint and marrow. It's a discerner of thought and intents of the heart. So when they show up, you say, it is written. The moment the devil knows that you know what is written, he will just leave you. And you begin to look again for somebody who is complacent. We must not be at ease in Zion. You either be hot or cold. You must have to be fire for Jesus. Fire for him. Praise the Lord. And then verse 18 says, pray in the Spirit at all times and on every occasion. Stay alert and be persistent in your prayers for all believers everywhere. Say, pray in the Spirit at all times. The Bible made us to understand in Romans chapter 8, verse 26 that, you know, this, that we do not know how to pray as we ought to, but the Spirit of God makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. He said that he who knows the mind of the mind of Spirit knows. All things work together for our good. We are encouraged to pray a lot in the Spirit, but a lot of believers who are filled with the Holy Spirit they don't make use of it. As you pray in the Spirit, you're charging your faith. The Bible says building up your faith with praying in the Spirit. You build your faith as you keep praying in the Holy Spirit, and God gives you more revelation because the Holy Spirit begins to illuminate your heart on even some of the things that you're studying about. Especially when you get overwhelmed, you don't even know how to start praying. Switch on and start praying in the Spirit. And when the moment I hit my car and I'm leaving home, I'm praying in the Spirit. I pray in the Spirit a lot, sometimes even when I'm showering. And like my husband said, he gets a lot of revelation through, you know, praying in the Holy Spirit. And the same thing goes for me. When he said that, I listened to it and listened again. I started doing that. And it's working for me. Praise the Lord. Make use of what you have been armed with. Pray in the Spirit. Pray in the Holy Spirit. Pray a lot in the Holy Spirit. I can't start sharing with you what happened in my family. When the devil showed up and wanted to destroy my child, a lady that was will leave her room and come to our room, I didn't know what she was doing. I didn't know she was the one responsible for what was happening to my son. When we were just babies in the Lord, we just gave our lives to Christ. And this young girl will come. She, first of all, she showed up, I think, around 2 a.m. I just opened my eyes and I felt some sound. The door was opening. And then the first one, she came and laid down on a couch by me where I usually breastfeed. And then I said, God began to minister to me. Why don't you turn on the light? I said, no. If I turn on the light now, sleep will disappear. See, but you just turn it on for a moment. That was the Spirit of God ministering to me. I said, oh. I just lingered on. They said, just turn it on just for a moment. I said, okay. I turned on the light. And lo and behold, this lady was lying down on the couch facing me, just opened like that. I just woke up. I said, what are you doing here? She said, oh, she cleaned her face and she walked away from the room. At the time, me and the three of our children were sleeping on the same bed because I had to breastfeed, and then they will always run to our bed. So my husband now had to be sleeping on the other room. So this lady came and did that. So the first thing in the morning, she disappeared. We didn't see her for 2 days. Then when she showed up after 2 days, the night that she came back, around 2-3 in the morning again, as I got up, I went to use the restroom. I used to keep the toilet paper so that because my children would tear a lot of it and mess up the bathroom. So I used to cut and then I will now use the bathroom. The door started opening just gently. And immediately I saw her face and her hair. I said, who is that? He said, oh, she cleaned her face again. And then she left the house in the morning and she never showed up again to her house. It was years later. But you know, before this happened, I had a revelation. And I had God say, oh, so mention name. May God have mercy on her in Jesus' name. Amen. But I didn't understand it. And I didn't even know that was her name until later on my husband now told me that was her name. It was years later she showed up in her house. She came from all the way from the village. She said she came to ask for forgiveness. And she said she wants us to please pray for her. She said what she did. She started by saying, what I did in your house, I am so sorry. She first made that apology when we got home, when we traveled home for something. And again, she now showed up at Lagos and she said we should please pray for her, that God should have mercy on her. How did it happen? Because when I got filled with the Holy Spirit, I was encouraged, make sure you pray a lot in the Spirit. Say, pray a lot in the Spirit even before you go to bed. And when I started doing that, that was when the enemy that was in my Shokoto showed up. God re-exposed her. I didn't know that the devil was using her. I am telling you, frankly speaking, you're missing out a lot when you're not praying in the Spirit. A lot of things will be revealed to you as you begin to pray in the Holy Spirit. Praise the Lord. The Bible made us to understand that the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. That is 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Let's look at, you know, from verse 3. 2 Corinthians verse, you know, chapter 10. Verse 3 says, for though we walk, live in the flesh, we are not carrying on our warfare according to the flesh and using mere human weapons. We don't use mere human weapons. He did to me. You didn't. Look at what you didn't do. There's an enemy that is manipulating. See, like this, my iPad. If I lift it up, it's up. It's not the iPad that walked up. If I put it down, it's down. That's how the devil manipulates those who are complacent. He can use them to trouble you, and you're looking at flesh and blood. It's not, you don't fight against flesh and blood. And he's saying, we don't do our warfare using mere human weapons. We use the weapon of love. We use God's weapon. That's why the Bible said, overcome evil with good. That's why he said, love your enemies, do good to them that hate you, pray for them that spitefully use you and persecute you. You overcome with the weapon of God. The weapon of God is the weapon of love. Whatever the word said to do, follow the word of God and you will get the right result that will give you joy and fulfillment. Verse 4 says, for the weapons of our warfare are not physical weapons of flesh and blood, but they are mighty before God for the overthrow and destructions of strongholds. Whatever strongholds that are in your life, whatever strongholds or challenges, whatever they are, you will overcome them by using God's weapon, by using the word of God. He said, remember the war room we watched on Thursday? Some of you that weren't here, you know, the lady kept on, you know, with the husband. But finally, when she was told that, look, you go to God in prayer, you begin to love your husband, begin to intercede on his behalf, God showed up. That was when he made room for God. We let go and let God. When we choose to do it God's way, that's when you know you have let go and let God. But you want to do it your own way, then God will just say, well, please yourself, because God is not going to share his glory with anyone. Praise the Lord. He said, but they are mighty before God for the overthrow and destructions of stronghold. He said in verse 5, inasmuch as we refute arguments and theories and reasonings and every proud and lofty thing that sets itself up against the true knowledge of God, and we lead every thought and purpose away captive into the obedience of Christ, the Messiah, the Anointed One. You see what the Bible is saying there? The weapons of our warfare is through the Word of God. And it is given to you so that you'll be able to prove to be wrong whatever thought that is running contrary to what the Bible already said concerning you. If God said you are healed, it is your job to use the word of God and say, Satan, you are a liar. By the stripes of Jesus, I was healed. If you don't know you are healed and you're not fully persuaded in that, you say, ah, he's playing me. You say, oh, this, you know, oh, you know. You start, or you say, I can't make it, though. You know, everybody, this thing is working for everybody else. It's not working for me. These are reasonings in you. You have to use the word of God and nip them on the board. I say, no, I know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Though he was rich, yes, for my sake he became poor, that I, through his poverty, might be rich. It is written. It is written. You take them captive to the obedience of Christ, because Jesus already finished for you and gave you victory. But you have to choose to use the word of God and get them, lead them into captivity. What does it mean?
you get them to bow to what the word said.
But if you are not familiar with what the word said, you are not persuaded, you will not take, you take these things casually. Well, it's happening to everybody else. No, your name is not everybody else. You are a child of God. You are blessed of the Lord. Victory is yours. You are an overcomer. You are more than conqueror. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. This is what the Bible said about you. Amen? Amen? You lead them captive. God is not going to lead them captive on your behalf because he has given you what it takes to do that. It is your responsibility to take them captive to the obedience of Christ. Jesus already finished for you. Jesus Christ is the fulfillment of the law. He finished for us. But if you are not in agreement with what he already accomplished, you can't stand tall and bold and declare the word to the situation and get your body to line up with the health that is in you, because Jesus is the health in you. And line up with whatever God has already made available to you in Christ Jesus Christ, if you are not fully persuaded. And the only way you can be fully persuaded is by fellowshipping with the word of God. As you keep fellowshipping with the word of God, you get them to submit. The Bible said in verse 6, it says, when your own submission and obedience as a church are fully secured and complete. Your obedience is fully complete in Christ because Jesus is the fulfillment of the law. But it has to be secured by you being fully persuaded and knowing that this is the truth and walking in agreement with that. You really take Jesus as the Lord. If he said so, that's it for me. I don't care what circumstances or situations are saying. I don't care what anybody is saying. The word of God is true. You stand on what the word said, and the word of God will always produce. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but his word will never return unto him void. Amen? Amen. Our obedience is fulfilled in him, but we have to walk in agreement. And two cannot walk together unless they are in agreement. You allow the truth of the word of God to supersede whatever facts the experiments are giving you or showing you, whatever facts, you know, proved by experiments or whatever. The truth supersedes the facts. It is the spirit that controls the natural. And the word of God is spirit. And the word of God is quick and powerful. Whatever shows up, it is written. And this one shows up, it is written. If you don't know it, or maybe you know it, but you are not really so sure, you say, Satan, look, you know what the Bible said, though? He will look at you and know that you don't know. But when you know, you'll be talking from your place of authority, from your place or from your seated position in Ephesians 2, verse 6. You'll be speaking from there. Say, hey, you call it forth, and it shall be unto you according to your faith. Praise the Lord. So the Bible said in James chapter 1, verse 22, it said, but be doers of the word, obey the message, and not merely listeners to it, betraying yourselves into deception by reasoning contrary to the truth. When do you reason contrary to the truth? When you don't know what the truth is. When you don't know what the word said. When you're not fully persuaded by what the word said, you just fall for the deceit. And you're carried like the other ones are carried. Child of God, you are in a better position. The Bible said in verse 25, he said, but he who looks carefully into the faultless law, the law of liberty. Why is it the law of liberty? It will liberate you from whatever when you know it. The law of liberty, and is faithful to it and perseveres in looking into it. You persevere in looking into it. Don't let anybody distract you from looking into it. There are so many distractions, toys that the enemy is showing out there to use to distract us. But you persevere in looking into it, being not a heedless listener. Who forgets, but an active doer who obeys. How do you obey? If the word says so, that's it for me. Obedience to the faith. What Jesus already accomplished for us. He shall be blessed in his doing, his life of obedience. The blessings of God will be nyafu nyafu. You will be like a tree planted by the rivers of living water that brings forth its fruit in each season. Because you delight in the word of God. And in the word of God, you meditate day and night. And you allow the word of God to garrison your life, to direct you. You submit every
component of your life, every aspect of your life. There's nothing that you are withholding from him. You have made a total surrender to him of every aspect of your life. The Bible says you shall be blessed in whatever you're doing. This is what the word said. You shall be blessed in whatever you're doing. Jesus is the Prince of Peace. And the Bible said that of the increase of his government and of peace, there shall be no end. So this peace is until you're called home. You keep on enjoying that peace. But your job is hold on to the word of God. Looking unto Jesus. Don't look away from him. Look unto him. You have what it takes. You are better than those who do not know him. A believer has a sixth sense which the unbelievers don't have. So you know a better way to handle things. When you don't understand how to handle things based on your five senses, you switch over to your sixth sense, which is the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit in you, the Spirit of God in you, is your helper, he's your standby, he's your advocate, he's your counselor, he's your intercessor, he's just there for you. Like we shared last Sunday, a child of God is never alone. He's there with you. Goodness and mercy always accompanying you, a child of God. You are never alone. So, you are better able to know how to handle issues. You see, living this kind of life, spirit is like spirit-controlled life. When your life is being led by the Spirit of God, you are way off. The things that will cause depression and downcast and fear to the world, you know where to hand over. Say, Lord, this, and that, I trust you with this. I rest my case. So what is bothering the unbelievers will not be bothering you, because they can only deal with issues based on their natural senses, and those are five senses. But we are privileged to have the sixth one, and that sixth one is the much higher one, and that is the one that controls every other thing. Praise the Lord. Jesus is the wisdom of God and the power of God for salvation, and he's in you. He's your wisdom. He's your righteousness. He's your everything. Health issue is your health. Job issue is your job. So when you don't have a job, you just simply trust him. He knows how to do it. And it's a matter of time. That your job is remain at peace. Remain at rest. And that rest attitude is an indication that you know in whom you have believed. And he will comfort for you. I used to sing this song a lot in Nigeria. On the mountain, in the valley, on the land, and in the sea. On the land, mountain, in the valley, on the land, and in the sea. Hallelujah. The Lord is my portion in the land of the living. The Lord is good forevermore. The Lord is my portion in the land of the living. The Lord is good forevermore. Be a rich man or a poor man, without Jesus, your life is empty. Be a rich man or a poor man, without Jesus, your life is empty. Hallelujah. The Lord is my portion in the land of the living. The Lord is good forevermore. The Lord is my portion in the land of the living. The Lord is good forevermore. That is, so long as you keep on looking away from all that will distract you, Jesus, he's your portion. So the Bible said in the book of James chapter 3, verse 14, it said, if you are selfish and have bitter jealousy in your heart, you have no reason to boast. Your boasting is a lie that hides the truth. He said, that kind of wisdom does not come from God. That wisdom comes from the world. It is not spiritual. It is from the devil. He said in verse 16, where there is jealousy and selfishness, there will be confusion and every evil work, or and every kind of evil. Verse 17 says, but the wisdom that comes from God is like this. First, it is pure. It is also peaceful, gentle, and easy to please. This wisdom is always ready to help people who have trouble and to do good for others.
This wisdom is always fair and honest. People who work for peace in a peaceful way get the blessings that come from right living. Amen? So, child of God, the wisdom from God is pure. It's not sensual. So if you have jealousy and bitter envy, the Bible said there will be confusion and every evil work. And that affects our children, especially those ones that are still riding on our faith. When husband and wife are bickering, always at loggerhead with each other, you have just opened the door for the devil and his children to come and fellowship with you. And you will be experiencing, the Bible said there will be confusion and every evil work. Think of whatever you can name as evil work. You will find it operating there. And that's why the Bible says we must not give him room. We should rather give God room in our lives. So whatever is, make for peace. That's why I said the best you can ever do for your family members, pray for them to know Jesus for themselves. This is the prayer I pray for all my family members, that they know Jesus for themselves. Because when they know Jesus, it is good for them and also good for me. Praise the Lord. So strife in a home opens the door for the devil. I remember there was one song we used to sing when we were in elementary school. They say, "Onye when I go back, I go nebwe we." But the people will hold hands like this. They say, "So don't let him in. Don't let strife in." The Bible says we should give him no room. Don't let him. Let it not. Rather be the one that is pursuing peace. Overcome evil with good. This is what the Bible encourages us to do. Don't leave any room for the enemy, because he comes to steal. And it is the entrance of the word that gives light and gives understanding. Jesus himself said in John chapter 8, verse 12, he said, "I am the light of the world. He who follows me will not be walking in the dark, but will have the light which is life." Jesus is the light. And the entrance of his word, he gives light and gives understanding to the simple. I encourage us today to pursue the knowledge of Jesus Christ. That's the best that can ever happen to you, and you'll be good to go. Amen. Shall we all rise?
You have just listened or viewed another teaching from the Orange Foursquare Church family. Please visit http://store.ftlw.org, where you can listen to other teachings freely, or you can purchase and download MP3s. Thanks, and remain blessed.